This is CBS Eye of the World. I'm John Batchelor with Nicholas Pelham, who has a profile of Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the heir apparent to King Salman. MBS is born 1985. He's a young man. Many ideas, many plans. But what's important I learned from Nicholas's piece is that this is a very strong-minded person who uses the skill of an autocrat, an authoritarian, sometimes called a despot when you're being romantic. He is the absolute authority today in 2022. And Nicholas, now we'd want to do some geopolitics. Mohammed bin Salman did not take President Biden's call when it was offered initially, and that eventually President Biden and Mohammed bin Salman met. Prior to that, I learned from you that Mohammed bin Salman had been taking phone calls from Moscow, from Vladimir Putin. Where is Mohammed bin Salman's in the world of geopolitics? This is a state of 35 million maximum. It has a great deal of oil. So does Russia. So does Venezuela. So does the United States. Where is he in the pantheon of leaders of the world?
I mean, he's still a work in progress. So at the moment, he's somebody who is very impetuous. He's somebody who has carried his own kingdom into submission, and now looks as if he's determined to carry much of the Middle East into submission. He's somebody who has, just as he's tried to change the power base of his own kingdom, somebody's eradicated the powers of the clergy and the royal household and the businessmen. He's now trying to change leadership in much of the Middle East. He's changed the leader of Yemen. He's gone to war in Yemen. He's tried to change the prime minister of Lebanon. He's tried to change the leadership in Qatar. He's somebody who is very much focused on sort of putting his own stamp, not just on the kingdom, but on the Muslim world per se. And I think it's fair to say that he feels sort of deeply let down by the West. In many ways, he was in his own mind, he's done everything that the West asked him to do. He's neutered the clergy. He's in many ways in a deeply religious society, in a conservative society, he sort of put Islam back into its box. The streets are now given over to Western entertainment. He's holding festivals in which kind of women spin discs in DJs in public, in you know, it's in which the kingdom hosts multi-religious interfaith conferences, in a kingdom which in the past kind of was handing out sort of protocols of Zion to visitors. He's now hosting rabbis. It's quite extraordinary in many ways the changes that have taken place under his watch, and yet he feels that you know the West hasn't understood that kind of that personal. The personal freedom that many Saudis enjoy, the kind of he's got rid of the custodianship laws for women, at least on paper. He's allowed women to drive. Women no longer need a male custodian to travel. They can stay in hotels overnight. They're kind of these sweeping changes, and he feels that rather than applaud, the West has condemned him. And I think he feels sort of in many ways deeply misunderstood, and that taps a nerve that dates back to his childhood where, you know, he had this vision, he had this sort of illusion of grandeur, and in many ways he wasn't taken seriously, not just, you know, by his own older brothers, by other princes who had a better claim to the throne. And the only way in which he's been able to rise to the top is through sort of bullying and bullying his way up. And I think he's tried to do much the same with in geopolitical terms as well. He's tried to bully Western leaders and say that if you don't embrace me, you're not going to get the quantities of oil that the world needs for and the energy the world needs to run its economy. And you know, that has induced a whole flurry leaders to come to Western leaders to come to Riyadh. You've seen Boris Johnson, the British Prime Minister, go to Riyadh. You've seen Emmanuel Macron, and most recently, you've seen Joe Biden meet a man that he called a pariah on his own turf, on his own terms. And it's really quite extraordinary that, you know, the last thing that Joe Biden wanted to do was to follow Trump's footsteps to Saudi Arabia. And that's exactly what has happened.
And yet there is a profound irony here. It's Shakespearean. It's theatrical. I get the sense from reading your piece, Nicholas, that Mohammed bin Salman is a prisoner of his fears, of his own fears of being overthrown in the same fashion that he threw away Mohammed bin Nayef. Is that what his counselors around him who live in fear of him? Does he live in fear of something that hasn't happened yet? We have about a minute.
The only people who can say no to Mohammed bin Salman are people from outside. Inside, you cannot say no. His own population are terrified, but that, you know, and his own ministers are terrified of him. Everybody in the kingdom is now living in fear. It's a place where people used to talk. It's shut down. But that in turn has created, you know, enemies across the length and breadth of Saudi Arabia. And, you know, if you survive by fear, you have to continually tamp down. And at some point, that can be a major challenge. And there is a question mark. How long can he continue to do that? And what will that do to him? The more the repression that is required for him to sustain himself in power, the more people question whether he can deliver, and Neom is clearly a question mark over that, the more he is going to be live in paranoia as to whether somebody is going to rise up against him.
Nicholas Pelham is the Middle East correspondent for The Economist magazine, writing of Mohammed bin Salman, then and now, from 2017 to 2022, a transformation into a man who strikes me as more belonging on the stage than he does in geopolitics. But there are the facts. Neom doesn't exist except in his imagination. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.